Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Our reflection for this Ascension Day comes from our first reading from Acts chapter 1. As they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heavens? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. There is something inherently contagious in looking up. Gaze upward for a while at something or nothing, and chances are pretty good that eventually someone is going to follow along and look and see what it is you might have discovered up there. Not too long ago, I saw a YouTube video. It was a prank video. A young man stops on a city sidewalk, just starts looking up. And the first couple people that pass by, they just sort of glance up and they keep walking. But eventually, somebody stops and is standing there with him looking up, and he doesn't say anything. And then another person and another. And by now it's three or four or five, and so then everybody wants to see, and eventually you have a whole crowd of people on this city block staring up at who knows what, and the man who started the prank just quietly walks away. It never shows what happens to the crowd. We just leave them staring in wonder at nothing. Well, this morning we look in on Jesus' disciples gazing intently upward. And this is no humorous prank. As we do, we celebrate yet another miraculous moment in the earthly ministry of our Lord, but one that often goes relatively unnoticed. You may very well have family plans for today, but I suspect that they are not motivated by Ascension Day. At least that's not what the retailers have been talking about for weeks. Nevertheless, we come to this point in Jesus' journey that is every bit as incredible from a human point of view as his rising from the dead that we celebrate with great fanfare on Easter morning. Since that day when the tomb was empty, Jesus had come and gone in the presence of his disciples over that period of 40 days, and now they were gathered together again, and still his followers didn't know what to expect. "Lord," they ask, "will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" It's almost as if they're asking, "Can we finally finish that Palm Sunday parade when we expected to welcome you into the city and usher you on to the throne of the governor and eventually be king?" But Jesus knows the plan is still not as they imagine. And in fairness, we probably would have asked the same question had we been there. So we wonder what was going through their minds at that moment. Was it starting to make sense at all? Truth is, probably not. Until Luke writes, Jesus opened their minds to the scriptures. You can almost hear Jesus saying, "Dear friends, this has been the plan all along. This is what was written about me by the prophets all those generations ago. This is why I was born into the world. This is what I have been telling you. What you have witnessed in me these 3 years we've been together. This is why I died on the cross. This is God's plan of salvation. This is why I rose from the dead, to truly demonstrate to you that God keeps his promises. That even death has been defeated once and for all, and it all had to happen to fulfill God's plan. And now Jesus says, my earthly mission is complete. So now what? Well, now Jesus has a mission for them, saying in effect, now you take this same gospel message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins and proclaim it. Get it out there. Take it all over the world. Pass it down from generation to generation, kingdom to kingdom, continent to continent, century to century, all the way down, so that eventually it reaches all the way to Miss Sam's pre-K class and another generation of young learners begins to understand the plan. But let's be clear. Jesus is saying, make sure they understand it is not only for the little children. It is for their parents, for their teachers, for their neighbors, for their enemies. It is a message of profound love for all people, wherever and whenever they live. Now, those are, of course, not Jesus' exact words, but that's the essence of his message to the disciples. The good news of God's grace was being entrusted to them for proclamation. But they wouldn't be left alone, he assures them. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We had a terrific conversation on Wednesday in Bible class about how sometimes we don't spend enough time understanding the power of the Holy Spirit at work in God's Word, in and through our lives. And to wait for that power, he instructs them to stay in Jerusalem. Don't just rush off yet. Don't rely on your own power and authority, he tells them. Just wait. Wait for the power of God to provide what you need to be witnesses for this gospel to the ends of the earth. And when Jesus had said all of this to the disciples, he explained the scriptures, he'd given them their mission, he astonishes them once more. Without fanfare, no choir of angels, no sounding of trumpets, no blinding light, no consuming smoke or trembling of the earth as if by earthquake, nothing. Jesus simply begins to ascend. People don't do that. You don't just rise up off the earth. But he does, demonstrating one last time, this is no ordinary man. This is Almighty God himself in the flesh. And his healed, glorified body rises higher and higher above them, and death will never encroach upon him again. And so naturally, the disciples gaze upward. Undoubtedly, their eyes are wide, mouths probably open silently in awe of this incredible man. Their stare is fixed, following the figure of their friend, their Savior, their God, as he ascends ever higher and higher. And they strain, no doubt, to hang on to this image of him just gazing up into the sky at what passers-by then would probably believe was nothing. But this was far more than nothing. Their strained gaze is understandable. They're just trying to hang on to one last glimpse of Jesus, perhaps wondering if something else is about to happen, hesitating to turn away and go back down to that back down that mountain towards some sort of uncertain future. You know, it's reminiscent of the Mount of Transfiguration, when a few of Jesus' disciples saw him displaying the very radiance of God. And so Peter, of course, says, hey, Lord, this is good. We should stay. I'll build some tents. But then, too, they had to leave the mountain, go back to their regular lives. You know, it's just as on Easter morning, when the women looked into the tomb and Jesus' body was gone, they were astonished and they didn't know what to make of it. So God sends a messenger to declare that Jesus was alive. And now the disciples, they look for Jesus. He's gone from their sight, and they don't know quite what to make of it. So God sends a messenger. Men of Galilee, this white-robed stranger says, why do you stand looking into heaven? And you half expect Peter, kind of impetuous Peter, to turn to him and say, well, why do you think? But he doesn't, because he's so in awe in that moment. And so the messenger continues, this Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go. Now, what the messenger doesn't say, but is clearly implied, is not today. Not today. Jesus will not return from heaven today. It is time to go down the mountain and prepare for your own mission. So they do. Luke records at the very end of his gospel, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. They may not fully understand what is coming next, but one thing to these men is absolutely clear. Jesus is victorious. He has fulfilled the plan of God. He has triumphed over death. And now he has returned to his rightful place in the kingdom of heaven. And he will return to once and for all complete God's plan of gathering all the faithful into the eternal glory of everlasting life. So significant is this celebration in the life of the church that we confess it every week. In the words of the creed, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. It is a part of the very core of our faith. And in those words, we are declaring, I believe this is the way God has fulfilled his plan of salvation. It's the way in which it will one day be completed when Jesus returns, according to the messengers, in the same way as you saw him go. And that day will come when Jesus will again appear in glory in the skies. And on that day, there will not just be a small handful of witnesses. No, Scripture makes clear that every pair of eyes on earth will be looking up. Jesus descending with great fanfare will be clearly visible to everyone. Well, until that day, let us go forward with the same spirit as the disciples, with great joy, blessing God, believing that God has fulfilled his plan out of a love for you, a promise that you are not left alone to fend for yourselves in this world, that God's Holy Spirit is indeed with you, working in and through you. The Spirit of God at work in his word and his sacraments. Next week, we focus on the coming of that Spirit, the miraculous event for the disciples. For now, we turn our own gaze toward that mission that God has entrusted to us, being his witnesses in our daily lives, whatever that looks like, joining together to see that God is proclaimed in our community, in our country, and even to the ends of the earth. God grant that it be so. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds assured of God's love for you in Christ Jesus. Now and always, amen.